We're going to go back to the series before our Holy Week and Easter was on the Ten Commandments. And we've been looking at them because, again, just to remind you, we've been looking at them, you know, there are these negative commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And we're used to hearing them in that way as these negative kind of prohibitions. But behind those prohibitions is something that God is trying to protect or to nurture or to flourish. Just like our gardens, we put fences around them to keep, you know, the animals away, or we take the weeds out of them. You know, God has put these negative things around to try to protect what he is trying to bring about, an understanding of himself, what's important to him, who he is, but also an understanding of ourselves and how he's created us to be part of his creation. And so as we've walked through them, we've kind of seen that kind of develop. Now we're getting to a commandment. The fifth commandment, which you heard Stacy read, is one that's pretty important. And I always found it interesting that he puts this commandment ahead of some that are pretty important. I think don't kill, right? Thou shalt not kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. You know, ahead of all those, he puts this thing about our families and about how we're to relate to the previous generation. I say that because it is not as common anymore for people to honor their fathers and their mothers in the ways that we once did. To give parents the respect. We see it on television. I remember when I was a young boy, on television there was a show called The Waltons. How many of you remember The Waltons? You know, and that was a show where they had different generations living in the same home, and everybody was a part of everybody's life. And you saw kind of a holistic picture of what a family was and how it could be. But it is rare to see a television show have elderly people in it as vibrant, important members of the family decisions. It's much rarer than it used to be. Have you recognized that? If they come in, it's kind of as a plot device or an opportunity for comedy, or if you watch a drama, it's because there's some victim of somebody else. Rarely is it where we're honoring and respecting and granting inordinate dignity to the people that went before us. I don't know why that is, why our media culture, you know, Hollywood, that kind of group, or our marketing people in the East, you know, I understand why they do it. You know, people in the prime of their life have just more money to spend, so they're going to market toward them, right? That makes sense, right? I don't know that it's good, but it definitely makes sense. But I do know that in the 60s, there's a generation. Many of you were part of that generation. You know, the baby boomer generation that came of age was beginning to come of age of 60s. There were a lot of different mottos about disregarding the traditions of the past. Matter of fact, one of the statements that they often promoted and made and became, you know, popular in the media was, you know, don't trust anybody over 30. Bob said, you know, you're saying it with me, right? You remember that? How many of you remember those kind of sentiments? Maybe, you know, now granted, in Brockway, we weren't the hub of cultural revolution here, but those things, because that group of people kind of took over our media culture in the West and other things in our society and the universities, that new ideas are better than old ideas, just unilaterally and universally, regardless of what those ideas are, has kind of taken over our culture. Would you agree? I want to take a break for a minute. There's a story. How many of you know the Brothers Grimm? You know, the Brothers Grimm wrote most of the fairy tales that we're familiar with. The problem is the Disney versions that we're familiar with, are not exactly how they panned out in the old original stories. The old original stories had quite a different lesson, and they were very cutting and a lot of times they ended in tragedy rather than triumph. There is a very short story that they tell in one of their collections, and is the story of a couple who has been forced, and remember this is a couple hundred years ago, a couple who's been forced to take care of the husband's elderly father. Remember, this is a time, you know, before the Industrial Revolution and even in the midst of the Industrial Revolution where there wasn't the kind of care and facilities and directed intentional health place, you know, things for elderly people. And so this gentleman who was on in years and was very feeble and less able was brought into their home to be cared for. And it became apparent as he ate with them at the table how much it was going to cost this family, not money-wise, but but just in dignity to take care of him. As he would eat with them at the table, you know, things would dribble out of his mouth. He couldn't hold the spoon the way he used to because of his hands and how they had crooked, you know, gotten kind of twisted by age. And he would spill on their nice tablecloth and make a mess of things almost every meal. And finally, the couple was pretty disgusted by it. So they just said, you know, we're going to have you eat over here at a little place in the corner by yourself, you know, while we eat at the linen table. And so they put him over in that corner for a while. They gave him a nice, you know, clay bowl and put him over there. And they kept the nice stuff over at the table with them and their young son. As time went on, though, he became more and more infirm, less and less able, couldn't communicate, you know, at all or much at all by the way that age had kind of driven through him. And one of the evenings, as they're having their meal at the table, he flounders with it, he flubs, and his bowl falls to the ground and cracks and shatters. And so the wife stands up and says, "It's obvious you can't eat like a human being. You know, you're just like a little pig." And so she had a little wooden trough she got, and she gave him a little wooden trough for him to eat from, you know, in the corner, so he wouldn't be in any kind of trouble. Pretty brutal tale, isn't it, so far? How many of you like where this is going? No, not at all. Well, it's intentional. And so then the story goes on as they tell it, and it's just about to close with one day the father returns to the home. He sees his son and his wife is getting the table ready, and there and off to the side of the table is their young 4-year-old son as he's playing with his blocks, and he's stacking them up very carefully, and the father goes and asks him, "Hey, what are you building there, son?" And he says, "Oh, I'm building a trough for you and mom for when you get old." And of course the husband and wife look at each other and for silence, and then they begin to weep, and then they bring the father over to the table and they give him a place of dignity and honor. You know, what goes around comes around, right, church? When we say things like, when we build a culture around the past doesn't matter, when we build a culture that new is better than old, that tradition should be cast aside without even considering why the traditions exist, what they were there to protect, what was the value and what were their purposes? When we say you can't trust anybody beyond your own age, we begin to build a different kind of culture. And I want to say that because that generation has been in control for quite a while now, we have that culture now in our country. It's not as bad as it could be, but the consequences of dishonor are great. I want to say here's the principle that God is trying to protect and what he wants to instill in humanity. You shall accept the blessing of the past so that you can have a future. You shall accept the blessing of the past so you can have a future. The past is important. It doesn't mean that it's perfect. And especially the traditions that we pass from one generation to another. But there are consequences for the kind of dishonor that we've seen. Consequences in our society, consequences in our culture, that we don't always necessarily connect to the irreverence that we show our older citizens. There is, in our culture, a decline in the respect for life throughout our society. A decline in the respect for life. If we're not honoring those who have come before us, it's very easy to slip into a dishonor of life altogether. There's different shows that people in our house like to watch at different times. And I don't watch a lot of TV, but every once in a while I see them. And there have been a couple kind of hospital dramas that have been on our screen as I've come through the living room here or there. And I've been noticing how often one of the themes that in modern medical dramas were brought up, and that is the theme of putting people to death at the end of their life, of intentionally taking steps to make sure that they perish. The idea of euthanasia is a strange kind of thing. Well, I understand we're not going to get into all the complexities of medical ethics and the morality of sustained care and those kind of things. But it is astonishing how quickly we can just throw out that idea and run it off like it's a foregone conclusion that the best thing in life is when somebody dies and is no longer a burden to the living. That kind of attitude and that kind of sentiment causes a disrespect for all of life, and it trickles down through our generations. As we disrespect those above us and or dishonor them, there is decline. But there's also a breakdown in familiar security. And notice that God says, honor your father and your mother. There is a presumption there about what a household is and what a human household should consist of, isn't there? Do you see that? What does it say there? Respect what? And your mother. Father and mother. This shouldn't be revolutionary for you to hear in a church that we respect and think marriage is important. The problem is that so many of us, more and more in our culture, don't have the opportunity to honor both our parents in the household because of the prevalence of divorce. How many of you would say that divorce, since we said don't respect anybody over 30, that divorce has gotten more prevalent in our culture or less? What do you think? It's gotten more prevalent, right? We're not going to look at the examples of our parents. We're not going to look at what they chose to put up with, the wrestling that they chose to do, the struggles that they went through, and honor and dignify them with the respect that they're due. Instead, we're going to invent a new way to have children in this world. And many would say, they would try to say it's a better way, that a whole household doesn't matter. But time after time, study after study shows that it does. Now, I want to be careful. We're not condemning anyone who's had to go through a divorce in their life. Obviously, that's not what we're talking about. But even most divorcees, they would have been better. Not that they had, you know, but that there had been a way that a whole household could have been. And most children who have been raised in that way don't know what they've missed. Don't know what they're missing. We're not here to stir up regret or sadness about those kind of things. We all recognize this world is hard. Everybody say amen? And the things that we do to one another, you know, God gave divorce because of the hardness of our hearts, right? And that's why divorce happens. Not because marriage is bad or we picked the wrong person, but because our hearts are hard. And we have a hard time forgiving and loving and communicating with one another. But in dishonoring our parents, in dishonoring the traditions of the past and what our parents, grandparents brought to us, we threw a lot out along the way. Everybody say amen? And some of those things were very valuable. And they protected things that we didn't even understand. I remember, I think it was either Winston Churchill or C.S. Lewis, one of the British guys, used to talk about if you're going down a pathway in the country and you come to a fence, you know, that's blocking the road, don't tear the fence down until you know what's behind the fence. Everybody understand that? You know, because he said, you know, you might be an angry bull on the other side that you're being protected from. You know, we had a generation that went through tearing down fence after fence after fence, culturally, socially, relationally, and even politically. And those fences, they did not understand why they were there, and they did not understand what they protected us from. But now we're learning, church. The disregard for life at the older ends of the spectrum, we should not be surprised at the disrespect that is among our young people. And the breakdown of familiar security, family security. There's also been an increase in violence and crime since the 60s. Everybody agree? Yes or no? Not an increase per se of what kinds of crimes are occurring, but who's committing them? Who's committing them? The ages of our criminals are younger and younger and younger and younger. You see that, don't you? Yes or no?
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, don't trust anybody over 30. You know, as when we disregarded and threw away respect and honor for our parents and for the generations before us. We opened ourselves up to things. We tore down fences that we didn't realize we were tearing down. Somebody said, you know, we talk about the MERS, as a principle of this, so it doesn't directly relate. I just want to say, you know, one of the things people talk about is it's so astonishing that, you know, kids would go in and shoot other children in schools. We've all seen that horrendous thing. And people say it's just so shocking. And one of the things I've had to do is hold my tongue on that issue. We've trained for a long time that human life is disposable, that abortion is fine whenever it occurs, that killing an infant, a child, a baby is fine. And yet we're shocked and surprised when our children, who have been taught this from a younger age, have no disregard for life whatsoever. Things trickle through our culture. Lessons are taught, or lessons are learned that we didn't intend to teach. You guys still awake? I know you didn't plan to come to a sermon about this today. But the other thing that happens when we weaken those familiar bonds, when we dishonor our parents in thought, word, or deed, we weaken our own society and our own societal ties. It used to be, I think, and I don't want to say you have this just an exercise of nostalgia as you come to church today, but many of us remember a time, and very few here, but I remember as a kid, you know, people could belong to different political parties and still treat each other with dignity. You remember that? How many of you remember that time? I remember, you know, people could put signs to support somebody they were hoping would get elected in their yard without some clown driving through and running over them and getting people's property getting vandalized because they have a different political opinion than themselves. You remember that time? Do you remember when you could support, the people in our country, even if you didn't vote for them? Do you remember that time? How many of you remember? Raise your hand. You know, we've lost something. Don't trust anybody over 30. We don't care. You know, our societal ties and the unity of our society has been greatly weakened when we disregard the traditions of the past and never ask the question why they're there. When we dishonor our father and our mother. What is God's solution? What is he building there? Well, at the very beginning of the nation of Israel, he's placing in stone itself the understanding that there is an obligation for you and I to honor our parents as a way of honoring what has gone before us, but also to honor them specifically. Now, some of us no longer have that opportunity to do that for them in this life in a way that they can receive it. I understand that. But how do you talk about your parents? How do you remember them to your children and their children? How do you speak about the past and the traditions? Do you disregard them as silly? Do you demean them? Do you point out only the flaws of the generation ahead of you? Or do you recognize the triumphs and the struggles and the achievements? How do you bring honor to those who have gone before you? Because that is the way the next generation will honor you. And it's very important for God, for us to be reminded by God's words to Israel that what has gone before us is important. That goes not only in our households and our families, but also in the community of faith in which we live. We have traditions that we hand down in the church. And some of them we understand, and some of them we're a little foggy on. And that's on us. There was a lot of things my granddad did that I didn't understand when I was younger. But now I've come to understand and respect as I've grown older. How about you? You know, and as I grow further in my Christian life and in maturity in Christ, there is much that has gone before me, much that ministers did in my past, much that my grandfather did from the pulpit that I didn't understand. But now I understand a little better. Honor your father and your mother is what God tells us to do. As a way of honoring society, as a way of honoring yourself. Now, does that mean honor your father and mother only if they deserve honor? Is that what that means? There are ways we have to honor our parents by not doing what they did, right? Amen? Everybody say amen. There are things, you know, that some parents instruct their children to do that are just evil or wrong. Parents are fallen and flawed just like all of us. It does not define how we honor our father and mother, but it does instruct us that we must find a way. So how will you plan to honor your parents? Maybe for you, if they've gone and they're no longer with you, maybe telling a story about them that brings to light the best of who they were to one of your children, your grandchildren. Bore them for a little bit this Sunday afternoon when you're on the phone with them. Tell them, "Oh, I remember your granddad. Do you remember him?" Just to tell the stories of the past in ways that are pleasing, joyful, respectful, and with dignity and honor. Do you hear me, church? We're going to stop right there. Just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, we do thank you. We're thankful people. We do appreciate it. We're not trying to hurt our moms and dads or their memories, our grandparents and them, but Lord, give us the patience and the will to investigate the things that puzzle us about their lives. And think of them in the best possible light, to understand who they are and what they wanted, and to respect and bring dignity to them. For after all, Lord, if your word is true, then we may have the opportunity to see them one day. So let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our heart regarding those who have gone before, be pleasing in not only your sight, but in theirs. Lord, remember them to us. Remind us again and again of the good that they've taught us. And Lord, help us to lift them up in our sight, in our heart, to have a place of honor and dignity and respect. Forgive our failings. Forgive the times we're eager to tell of their mistakes. And teach us to sing their praises as we have learned to sing yours. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All God's people say, amen.